Going to be reading from a couple of different places in the Old Testament this morning, starting with Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and then Judges 6, 13. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate." And then Judges 6:13. Gideon answered him, "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of Midian." The title of the sermon is, "God, Where Are You?" We're going to talk about the problem of evil. And evil is not just what most of us think when we say the word evil. Evil is basically anything bad that happens in our world. Any hurt, pain, suffering, anything bad that happens in our world. And what kind of prompted me to do this sermon was last weekend, the young lady that was killed in a car accident and her unborn child, Hunt Pinkerton. And I thought, well, that's just a tragic thing, because she had just been to the doctor and she was having some pregnancy issues, but the doctor told us everything was great. And she had a happy day coming from the doctor, only for it to be tragically taken from her by someone who pulled out in front of her. And we wonder sometimes when those things happen, we think to ourselves, God, where were you when all that happened? God, why did you let that happen? And we really wonder that sometimes. And whether it's a traffic accident that kills somebody, or something as severe as the Holocaust, or the killing fields of Cambodia, Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11, a tsunami that wipes out 150,000 people in one shot, or the massive starvation of children around the world, any one of those can be considered the reality of evil. And science has pretty much determined that the world is not eternal, that it had a beginning, and the only feasible explanation for that is divine design. There had to be a God, and everything really has to have always been here, because the Big Bang theory don't hold water. Where did the Big Bang come from? Where were the materials that caused the Big Bang? Something has always been here and will always be here. That proves there's got to be some divine being that controls all this stuff. There is a God. He exists. And every time science tries to prove that he doesn't, they wind up proving that he does. God is there, even though we wonder where he is sometimes. You probably don't know the name Vincent Bugliosi, but he was the prosecuting attorney in Los Angeles during the O.J. Simpson trial. Now, you remember the other attorneys that were there, I'm sure, because it was a big media thing. This prosecuting attorney had won 105 of 106 felony cases. The one he lost was O.J. Simpson. He wrote a book called The Five Reasons That O.J. Simpson Got Away with Murder. He says this: "When tragedies like the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman occur, they get one to thinking about the notion of God. Nicole was only 35. Ron was just 25, both outgoing, friendly, well-liked young people who had a zest for life. Their lives were brutally extinguished by a cold-blooded murderer. How does God, if there is a God, permit such a horrendous and terrible act to occur along with the countless other unspeakable atrocities committed by man against his fellow man throughout history? And how could God, all good and all just, according to Christian theology, permit the person who murdered Ron and Nicole to go free? And they say when the clerk read the verdict, the not guilty verdict, Nicole's mother whispered, "God, where are you?" She didn't understand. And we don't always understand why these things happen. We ask those questions all the time. Something terrible happens in our life and we wonder, why us? Or why did that happen to them? Or what's going on, God? Why are you letting this happen? And the sad thing is, we really don't know. I've mentioned before that in seminary, they even have courses on the problem of evil. In fact, the course I took was titled The Problem of Evil. And as much as we discussed it, nobody really has a definitive answer about why there is evil, why these bad things happen. And you know, you've all heard the phrase, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, this Bible study that we've been doing, the author of these two Bible studies, Sandra Richter, she made a comment on one of her videos one time, and she said, you know, people make that comment, bad things happen to good people. But she says, you know, if you really look at it from the perspective of theology, we should more likely wonder, why do good things happen in such a bad world? And it makes sense. It's those little pockets of good things that happen that we should be thankful for, because we live in a bad world. That's why Gideon was asking, if the Lord is with us, why is all this happening to us? We ask ourselves that all the time. Why? And the real problem arises because as Christians, what we believe about God and about evil boils down to these five things. We know God exists. We know God is all good. We know God is all powerful. We know God is all wise. Yet evil exists. And it's that last one that causes us so much problem. Because how do you reconcile evil with an all-loving, all-powerful, all-present, all-wise God? It's hard. And it would be easy if God, when He created us, said, okay, I'm just creating all these things, including the bad. Be easy to explain. But He didn't. He created everything good. And that just makes it hard for us to understand how a good God who created everything good allows bad things to happen. And it's not just an academic question. It's not just theological debate. It's a question that we all ask. It's that question where the rubber meets the road, if you will, where we really wonder why. Why is somebody murdered? And we probably all know somebody that's been murdered, somebody that's committed suicide. It's like the young man I talked about this morning. Tragedies. The elderly couple that was killed a couple of months ago for no reason whatsoever. And we ask ourselves, why do these things happen? It doesn't make sense why there is evil in our world, a world that God created good. And it's tough. We ask ourselves, why didn't God create a world where there was no evil and suffering? And the fact is, He did. In Genesis 1:31, it says, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything God made was good. He was proud of it. He knew it was good. So we can't ask ourselves, why didn't he make a world that was good? Because he did. But then, because of Adam and Eve, evil came into the world. The world became corrupted. Humankind became corrupted. Everything became corrupted. As Dr. Richter said, the world became bad. And before we go any further, everybody's always blaming that on Eve, and I want you to understand, it was not all Eve's fault. My mother-in-law used to make the comment, look how long it took the serpent to convince Eve to eat the fruit. And then look how long it took her to convince her husband to eat the fruit. And if you'll listen to what I read this morning, Adam was with her. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. So it's not just Eve's fault, folks. It's their fault that we live in an evil world. So stop blaming Eve. It was their fault. And then in Genesis 3:18, it says, because of sin, nature was corrupted, and thorns and thistles entered into the world. So everything was corrupted. It wasn't just humankind. It was everything that was corrupted. Back when God created everything, it was all good. The animals were even vegetarians. They didn't eat each other. They didn't hunt each other down. We didn't eat them. It was all harmonious. Everything was vegetarian. In Romans 8:20, it says, against its will, everything on earth was subjected to God's curse. And I know that may be a simplistic answer. It doesn't really explain the root problem of evil. I don't think there is a good explanation for the root problem of evil. But most of the suffering in this world is by humankind. I'm going to tell you a little thing here, and I don't mean to make light of this whole subject, but it kind of goes like this. In the beginning, God populated the earth with broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, green, yellow, and red vegetables of all kinds so man and woman would live long and healthy lives. Then using God's great gifts, Satan created Ben and Jerry's and Krispy Kreme donuts. And Satan said, do you want chocolate with that? And man said, yes. And woman said, and another one with sprinkles. And they gained 10 pounds. Then God created the helpful yogurt that woman might keep her figure that man so found so fair. And Satan brought forth white flour from the wheat and sugar from the cane and combined them. And woman went from size 2 to size 12. And God said, try my fresh green salad. And Satan presented Thousand Island dressing and garlic toast. And man and woman unfastened their belts as they continued to eat all the devil laid before them. God then said, I have sent you heart-healthy vegetables and olive oil in which to cook them. And Satan brought forth deep-fried fish and chicken-fried steak so big it needed its own platter. And man gained more weight and his cholesterol went through the roof. God then brought running shoes so that his children might lose those extra pounds, and Satan gave us cable TV with remote control so we don't even have to get up and change the channels anymore. And man and woman laughed and cried before that flickering light and gained more weight. Then God brought forth the potato, naturally low in fat and brimming with nutrition, and Satan peeled off the healthful skin, sliced the starchy center into chips, and deep-fried them, and man gained still more pounds. God then gave lean beef so that man might consume few calories and still satisfy his appetite. And Satan created McDonald's and 99-cent double cheeseburgers. And Satan said, you want fries with that? And man replied, yes, and supersized them. Man went into a cardiac arrest. God sighed, created quadruple bypass surgery, and Satan created HMOs. And I know that's all funny and we can laugh at it, but it really makes a point. Because God tries to help us. He gives us good things. And then Satan comes along and corrupts them. And we fall into that trap. Because those things that Satan corrupts the world with, they taste good. But we should be trying God's food instead. There are really three types of evil that exist in the world. There is moral evil, which is that evil committed by willing people that cause war, crime, cruelty, discrimination, racism, suicide bombings, and injustice. And there is natural evil that involves such things as hurricanes, tsunamis, floods, earthquakes, and so on. Then there is social evil, which are things such as poverty, hunger, and homelessness. And the question that roars to our minds, I'm sure, is, why did I get cancer? Why did my child get cancer? Why did my child die in that automobile accident because of a drunk driver? Why? Job, he even screamed the same thing. Why, God, why? And he even went so far as to say, if this was all going to happen, why didn't you just let me die in the womb? Why did I have to be born? Why couldn't you have just buried me like a stillborn infant? Why? But if you'll notice, in 37 of those chapters in Job, we never hear from God. Except the first part where Satan makes the deal. Other than that, God kind of stays silent through Job's rant, through his friends trying to convince him that he was wrong and should just kill himself, all through that, until it got to the point where Job got so frustrated with it and wanted an answer so bad, he demanded that God give him his day in court. He demanded to stand before God and have God explain to him, why did you do this to me? I didn't do anything wrong. Until in verse 38:4, Job gets answered. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. You wouldn't even be here trying to ask me a question if I hadn't decided to create you to begin with. And God does not owe us an explanation. He is our creator. He is our provider and our protector. And the things that He allows happen on this earth happen for a reason, whether we understand it or not. It's not necessarily meant for us to understand. We accepted free will in the garden. And because God gave us free will, we gave up His providence. He took care of Adam and Eve in every way. The earth was a perfect temperature, had a perfect humidity. They had food. And then He gave us free will, and we lost all that. Because we made a choice, and they made the wrong choice, and it corrupted everything. And that's really all we understand about what happened. We don't understand why the evil today. But we have to learn to trust God. God is great. God can take any negative evil and make it into a positive, a good thing. And He does that, even though we may not realize that's what's happening at the time. It may surprise you to learn that such disasters as hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes have a purpose. God lets those things happen for a reason. It's to keep balance in the earth. Without those things, we wouldn't survive, as terrible as they are. Hurricanes balance the tendency of our oceans to leach carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. And if they didn't do that, we would experience another ice age. They also stir around the air enough so that the oceans don't absorb too much of the sun's heat and kill all the life that's in it. I know it's hard for us to realize that, but there is a reason for the hurricane. Tornadoes are kind of the same way. They stir things up. Thunderstorms, that lightning that you see that is so damaging, generates ozone. God's trying to fix what we destroyed. And I read somewhere here a while back where the hole in the ozone is actually closing up. Because we realized what we were doing and we stopped doing it. But as devastating as lightning is, it is for good. It creates ozone, repairs the earth. Earthquakes, the shifting of the earth, allows nutrients and stuff to be shifted around, which allows us to grow food, which allows us to survive. All of those things that we see as catastrophes, have a reason. Even the tragedies that happen in our lives, or maybe not even that severe, maybe the bad things that happen in our lives are probably for good. And a lot of times, I know I have, gone back a few years later and remembered what had happened and thought, now I understand. God did that because He wanted to strengthen me for what's going to happen now. Or God did that because He wanted me to be more understanding and compassionate because I've been through it and somebody's about to come to me that's about to go through it and I can help them understand it. Sometimes those things make us a more compassionate person. But if we didn't experience that, we'd just be going through life fat, dumb, and happy. So those things happen for a reason. God uses pain and suffering to sharpen our character. In Romans 5:3, it says, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance." Then in 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, "For God can use sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. We will never regret that kind of sorrow." Think about that for a minute. 9/11, as disastrous as that was, as many people as it killed, it actually filled our churches to capacity. People were so scared because of what happened that they flocked to church. God, help us to understand. God, keep that from happening again. God, I'm here. I want you. How many of them people that flock to church are still in church? Every once in a while, God's got to scare us to bring us back to Him. He uses our sorrow to bring us back to Him, to help us to understand that we really do need Him, that we can't just be out there on our own. We have to trust Him. And if you'll think about it, the absolute worst thing that happened in history happened to save each and every one of us sitting here this morning. And everybody out in the community that realizes they need Him. A man without sin had done nothing wrong except help people, was captured, tortured, and crucified to save us. The most disastrous thing you can think of, a man that didn't deserve it, a part of God, was killed so we could live, so we could be saved. So God does use bad things to help us. There are several instances in the Bible where it talks about that. Joseph, you intended it for bad. God intended it for good. I can't tell you why evil happens. I'm sorry, I don't have that answer. And I don't think anybody really does. But I can tell you that I trust God. And I know that no matter what happens, there is a reason for it. I don't understand it. I may not ever understand it. But there is a reason. God has a reason for it. You have to learn to trust God. That is the only way you're ever going to get through this. So when you get angry at God because something happens and you ask God why, He looks at us and says, well, do you trust me or not? You have to trust Him. It's all about trust. Faith, hope, love, trust, it's all packaged together. God will take care of you in the best way that you need. And it may not all be smooth sailing. The only thing He guarantees you is a safe landing at the other end. He never promised you life was not going to be bumpy. But it may be bumpy for a reason. Maybe you needed to be brought back. Or maybe you needed to be strengthened for some reason. But you have to trust that God is doing the right thing for you. So, I can understand questioning why, and I think God understands questioning why. He knows we are very curious people. We want to know, especially in this age that we live in with information overload where you can get on the internet and search for anything and have it that fast. We want answers. But we can't always get the answer that we want. But we do know that because Jesus faced evil and suffering and pain, that He did that for us so that we wouldn't have to face all that, so that we could find a place with God in heaven when that time comes, so that God can prepare us to be better people, more loving, more compassionate, stronger, and wiser. That's why those things happen. Because God has a reason. And I know people don't like to hear that, especially if you've lost a loved one and they come to see the pastor and the pastor says, well, I really don't know why, but there was a reason. They don't want to hear that. And that's unfortunate. And I feel for them. And I feel for anybody in that position, the families, the Pinkerton family, the Klein family. I feel for them people. But I don't have the answer. And I'm sorry, I don't. But I do know that I wake up every morning because God wants me there. God gets me through every day. And I go to sleep at night knowing God's watching over me. And I trust that He is there with me every step of the way. That the Holy Spirit is in me, guiding me. And that Jesus walks with me. And like the Footprints in the Sand poem says, He carries you in your toughest times. Amen.